Moses went out unto the tabernacle, people stood up, every man at his tent door, and they watched. Verses 9 through 11, Moses going into, so in verse 8 he goes unto, in verses 9 through 11 he goes into, it says, as Moses entered into the tabernacle. And we saw two responses, the response of the Lord, verses 9 and 11. Let's just start with verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it, and I should go back to the real translation, and called it the tent of the meeting. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tent of the meeting, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tent, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tent. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tent, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tent, and the Lord talked with Moses. So this is the response of the Lord you'll see in verse 9. The pillar stood at the tent door, and the Lord talked with Moses. Then you see in verse 10 the response of the people. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tent door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And then again we see the response of the Lord in verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tent. So there's what I call the tent entering. Tonight we're going to look at the tabernacle, or the tent encounter. The tent encounter. Let's look first of all at the nature of the encounter. We've already addressed this in verse 11. It's expressed as face to face. Remember, God communicated with other Old Testament characters in visions, in dreams, or dark orations, as the commentator Bush put it. Much differently did God deal with Moses. Let's be reminded of that in Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, because God is specifically pointing this out to two people who have challenged Moses' authority, his brother and his sister, Miriam and Aaron. In Numbers 12, verses 6 and 7 and 8, it says this, "And he said," that is, God said, "hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." This is how God would communicate with other Old Testament characters. "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Recall from this morning's message how that we are privileged as disciples of the Lord, that when we listen to what he tells us and we respond to what God tells us, he communicates even more to us. If there's a great example in the Old Testament of somebody who would respond to the Lord when God spoke to him, it was the man Moses. And that's why I believe God could communicate with Moses in a way he didn't communicate with others. God knew that Moses would immediately obey. You think about what Moses was up against with the children of Israel. I mean, he was up against the children of Israel. Think about the belligerence. Think about the rebellion. Think about the things that Moses was up against. And yet God, when God would command him to do something, Moses would respond. No wonder God could speak to Moses, as it says here in Numbers, mouth to mouth, or as it says in Exodus, face to face. He was one in whom he could entrust his word. Remember that phrase that we find there in verse 11, face to face, must be understood with verse 20 in mind. Go back down to verse 20. "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." So as Bush says in his commentary, what Moses saw and held communion with was not God in his intimate essence, but God in his sensible symbol of the Shekinah. And this is repeatedly called his face or presence. We're going to see here in just a few minutes that the word face occurs many times in chapter 33. Sometimes it's translated before someone or in someone's presence. But the Hebrew word panim is used each time. And so I'm going to hopefully point that out here in just a few minutes. So there's the nature of the encounter there in verse 11. But let's look at the topic of the encounter. What is discussed when Moses meets with God? Well, let's ask ourselves this question. Why was Moses so intent on meeting with the Lord? Two things that I've written down. Number one, because of the company of God's people. Moses wanted God's company. So look at his request in verses 12 to 13. And Moses said unto the Lord, here he is face to face, that is in his Shekinah glory presence. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Now there's much to unpack here. This is Moses' request. And in his request, he said, he really is asking two things. I've reduced it to these two things. Show me who and show me where. So we're going to see in verse 12, Moses is saying, please show me who. And in verse 14, he's going to say, please show me where. So let's look at show me who in verse 12. God had told Moses, and Moses says this to the Lord, bring up this people. We'll go back to verse 1. Isn't that where he said it? In verse 1, the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt. So Moses is recounting that God said, bring up this people. And then in verse 3, God says, I will not go up in the midst of thee. So Moses, bring this people up. I'm not going to go in the midst. Now Moses has had God in company with him the whole way. Go back to chapter 3 sometime where Moses is being called by the Lord from the burning bush and God is saying to him, I want you to go into Egypt and I want you to bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses is going, wait. Who am I? I can't even talk. And all the excuses Moses gave there in chapter 3. God assured him, I will be with you. So Moses has been assured of God's presence, and now God is saying, because of the sin of this people, I can't go in the midst of you. So if God will not go with me, who will? Please show me who. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. God, please show me who is going to go with me. Then as you ask that question, how do those two things comport with, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name? In other words, the two things, bring up this people, and who will you send with me? How do those two things comport with what Moses then says later? Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. That denotes familiarity. It's a unique and vital relationship. When Moses was out there on this same mountain, Mount Sinai, in chapter 3, did you know he was on Mount Sinai in chapter 3? When he's there on that same mount, he's got his sheep in the area and he's up on that mount and he sees this burning bush and he turns aside to see this wonder. God says, Moses, Moses. Did God know Moses' name? Obviously so. God calls him out by name. And Moses is said, yet thou, you have said, I know thee by name. It denotes a unique and vital relationship. With that in mind, Moses wants to know why God would not tell him who. You know my name. Why won't you tell me who? We have this relationship. Lord, why won't you tell me who's going to go with us? Can we apply something here to us today? God knows every child of his by name. John 10:14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Nahum 1:7, the prophet Nahum says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Again, many people claim to know the Lord, but I would ask, does he know you by name? That is really the real question. Does he know you by name? So how do those two things comport? You know, God says, bring up this people. And Moses says, you haven't shown me how you're going to do this. How does that comport with, you said, I know you by name, Lord. You know me by name. Why are you asking me to bring these people up and don't even tell me who's going to go with me? And then the second thing you find there in verse 12. Thou hast also found grace in my sight. This is what God has told Moses. You have found grace in my sight. In other words, Moses has found favor in God's eyes. That's the word grace, favor. What does it take to find grace in God's eyes? What does it take to find favor in God's eyes? It's first used, as far as I can tell, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. Let's go back there and visit it, because there's somebody in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. By the way, who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses did. So I think this is kind of interesting. He wrote the book of Genesis under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as he's talking about finding grace in the eyes of God, and he says, you have said that I have found grace in my sight. Let's find one other one who found grace in the sight of God. Genesis chapter 6 is all about what's happening on this world, possibly 8 to 12 billion people on this earth. God saw in verse 5 that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The imagination of every of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. God says in verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But now, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor. And here's Moses here in chapter 33. He's written this, or will write it. I don't know at what point this takes place. And Moses is able to say, thou hast also, he's quoting God, yet thou hast said, thou hast also found grace in my sight. God at one point has told Moses, you have found grace. You have found my favor. How do we find favor in the eyes of God today? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We find favor in the eyes of God through Jesus Christ. Finding favor in God's eyes is an expression that is repeatedly used, you'll find, in the Old Testament. But there's one I want to take you to, again, in Genesis. You're in Exodus 33, go to Genesis 33. You probably remember the story when Jacob is about to meet his brother Esau, and Jacob is scared to death what his brother's going to do to him. He has stolen the birthright. He has stolen the blessing. Esau had sworn to kill his brother Jacob. And so in chapter 33, after Jacob's been with Laban and he's gained all this wealth and all these cattle and all these sheep, and he's now a very, very rich man. He's got his wives and he's got his 12 children. You know, now he's getting more than 12, but he's got the 12, what we call the patriarchs. And he's about to meet Esau, his brother. And so you read that in verses 1 through 7 or so. Then you get to verse 8, and Esau says this to Jacob, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And here's what Jacob responds. These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. I want to find favor in your sight, my brother Esau, is basically what he's saying. You'll find it again in verse 10. You'll find it again in verse 15. In other words, somebody has offended somebody. Jacob has offended Esau. And Jacob is pleading to find grace, favor in the eyes of his brother. Have we offended anybody? We've offended God. How do I now find grace in his eyes? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 33 of Exodus. Notice again the times when Moses talks about finding grace in God's sight. We see it in verse 12. Now look again at verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. Then he says, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Here it is again, that I may find grace in thy sight. Look at verse 16. Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have, here it is again, found grace in thy sight. Look at verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And he repeats, and I know thee by name. Look at chapter 34 and verse 9. And he said, Moses is speaking now, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. The whole thing that Moses is saying, Lord, if I have found grace, if I have truly found favor in your sight, please, please go with us. I must have you go with us. So just as Noah had found grace in God's sight, so too has Moses. It's a frequent request in the Old Testament. Genesis 18:3 with Abraham, Genesis 19:19, and so forth. But I want to take you all the way forward to a king of Israel who wrote the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, and you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but let's look at what precedes Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, something I just discovered as I was doing this study on the word grace or favor. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon is saying, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Here's how you're going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God, and even in the sight of man. Don't forget my law. Listen to what I've taught you. It brings you long life. It's going to bring you peace. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon the table of the heart. So you're going to find favor. You're going to find grace in the eyes of God and in the eyes of even men. Again then, back to Exodus 33. If Moses had truly found grace in God's sight, why would God not tell him who he would send with him? Lord, Moses seems to be saying, you know my name. You have told me that I'm a recipient of your favor. Please show me who. In other words, if it's not you, I can't go. Show me who. Secondly, show me where. Show me where. That's what we see in verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. That way, the word way can also be translated road. Show me the road, the path. Show me where am I going? That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So not just who, but also where. If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way. Where is the road? Okay, he's in the middle of a wilderness. There aren't any roads there. God's going to have to show Moses the way. If God is not with Moses, if the who's not there, the where's not there. So it's not just heading in the right direction, Moses might have been able to say, okay, I know that Canaan is north and west of here. Let's just go. It's not the ultimate destination that he has in mind. It's the path to get there. Moses may have been able to at least head in the right direction, but folks, how many people does he have with him? Anybody remember? 2 to 3 million people. It would be bad enough. It would be hard enough to do it with this group in a wilderness. Think about that. 2 to 3 million people. What is the way? What is the road? Where am I going to find water along the way? They're in a desert. In other words, Moses is really saying, without you, I can do nothing. I've got to have you. It's a desperation plea. How do I avoid the enemy? Who knows where the enemy is? Who knows where the Amorites and all these ites are in the wilderness? Who knows that? Moses doesn't know that. So it's not just getting to that destination. Okay, I got a compass here. It's north or west a little bit. Okay, let's head that way. It's along the way. And folks, that's for each one of us. It's not just how do I get there. It's okay, I need God along the way. And sometimes we feel like, well, as long as I know where I'm going, I can get there eventually. But then we hit the pitfalls along the way. We hit the enemies. We run into the enemy. We run out of water. We run out of things we need spiritually. Moses had already seen how God had avoided certain places. He's already seen that. Let's look at an example. Go back to Exodus 13. I preached a sermon on this years ago. I'm trying to remember the title. Can't remember it. Exodus 13, verse 17. They've come out of Egypt, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, note this, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. You know why they are where they are right now in Exodus 33? They could have gone right into the land of Canaan. If you look at a map, it's like, this doesn't make any sense. They could have gone right into the land of Canaan, but God knew they weren't ready for war. Here's the whole point. God knows what you are prepared for. He knows what I'm ready for. He knows what we cannot handle. And he purposely led them away through the wilderness because he had some things to teach them. And Moses has been leading them every step of the way, exactly as God said. Now they're out in the middle of nowhere. Lord, I've got to have you. Please show me where. Please show me the way. I need to know the way. But then he says something interesting. Are you there in verse 13 of Exodus 33? Show me now thy way. Now what are the next five words? That I may know thee. Show me the way that I may know thee. Knowing God's way leads to knowing God himself. That seems to be what Moses is saying here. If I know God's ways, I get to know God himself. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy 8:6, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. So where do you learn the ways of the Lord? Through his commandments. Look at chapter 10 of Deuteronomy. Verses 11 and 12. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Look at the next chapter, 11. Look at verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, and do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. What I'm trying to point out here is the importance of knowing God's ways. Because knowing God's ways, and how do we know God's ways? Through his word. How do you know what God does? Look at his word. What has he done in the past? Where has he taken us? The more I get to know him. Here's what God, if you want to call it this, complains in Psalm 95 and verse 10. I'll read it to you. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They have not known my ways. And what's the theme of the book of Exodus? That they might know me. How are you going to get to know God? By getting to know his ways. And when you read that in Psalm 95:10, they have not known my ways. What does God say of such people? The very next verse. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Those who do not know the ways of God are a people who are not at rest. You get to know God. You get to know his ways. Why he does what he does. You'll have rest. And that's how we need to get to know him. When you get to know the way of a man, where a man will go, where a man won't go, you get to know the man. So you'll be able to say, well, he would never do such and such, right? He would never go there. That's the way we get to know the Lord. The more I get to know his ways, the more I can say, God would never do that. You don't read that in Scripture. Or here's what God would do. For example, God knew Abraham's name, and that he and his family would, and I quote from Genesis 18:19, he and his family would keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. In other words, God knew Abraham so that he could say, I know he'll do justice and judgment. I know him. I've seen this man respond to me. So when Moses says here in verse 13, show me now thy way that I may know thee, he's getting to know God even better. But then it closes with this, verse 13, and consider that this nation is thy people. We've seen this, where Moses has already interceded for his people. Go back to chapter 32, verses 11 to 13, and you see where Moses is interceding. He besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? You've brought them out of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand. Why would you have the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to slay them in the mountains and so forth? Lord, consider now, this is thy people. So there's Moses' request. And now we see God's reply in verse 14. Here's what God responds with. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, is in italics. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You could really spend some time just meditating on that right there. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence will give you rest. If you just knew God was with you wherever you are, somewhere, when you're all alone, wouldn't that be peaceful? If you just knew for sure that God was with you, wouldn't that give you rest? Note here that the presence promised is the Lord himself. Now, going back, I said a few minutes ago that I was going to look at the word face throughout this chapter, and here's one place where the word presence is the same word for face in verse 11, face to face. Literally, what God is saying to Moses in verse 14, my face shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Who is it that went with Israel there through the wilderness? Who is that? Isaiah 63:9 says this, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence, the angel of his face, saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Who is this? It's none other than Jesus Christ. My presence will go with you. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, we find out that this is Christ himself, where it says that spiritual rock that followed them, that rock was Christ. He was with them. And we've already studied where in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You don't forsake him, he will never forsake you. The promise of God's presence, folks, is what we need. When we grow small or grow large, the question is God among us? That's what we've got to ask. Is God with me? When you're all alone at work, and maybe there's people making fun of you for your Christian life at school, is God with me? You know what? You can stand against anything. You can stand against anyone if you know that God is with you. Because he will show you himself, and he will show you the way. That's what I need. So the idea of receiving rest here in verse 14 is not to cease from activity, but it's to enjoy God's protection and God's blessing in the land. Here's the way it's put in Deuteronomy 12:10. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety. God's presence goes hand in hand with the rest he provides. Thus, the title of this message, My presence will give you rest. My presence will give you rest. Let's close by reading Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Read out loud with me verses 1 through 7. Here we go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Now, we're going to get to verse 7. Note what it says. I'll read this by myself. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He made known his ways. Father, we thank you that you have made known to us your ways. In fact, we praise you tonight that you have shown us the way, the life, the truth, Jesus